this thing is so unfair to men.
It's absolutely unfair. It's absolutely unfair.
I think it was Tim. I would like to get a possibly a woman on one of these podcasts who
you
disagrees with me. No, I don't want her dating advice because she'll probably give me some bullshit about the typical cosmopolitan crap. But to be able to have a discussion with a woman about, as a man, how we feel. Because I don't think these women have a clue what the freaking hell they're doing. They don't have a clue. They don't, they're so emotionally detached from how men are feeling today. And I'm hoping to maybe get a woman on one of these podcasts.
I absolutely think you should do that.
Yes, a woman's not just going to say, oh, you just want to get laid. But maybe I will run into that. Because if I could get an intelligent or even not so intelligent woman to talk to on here, then we can discuss what's going on. Because what I found out? This is another thing I told Tim when I interviewed him. I says, do you notice how nobody tries to contradict what we're – no women try to contradict what we're saying? Like there's people like maybe on YouTube or the internet complaining about the dating scene. Women always kind of keep their mouth shut. I think they inherently know that they're doing this, but they don't want to be called out for their bullshit because they know they'll be stomped on. I think that they'll know that deep down that men are picking up on this crap and they're not putting up with it anymore.
No, I think you're right. But, I mean, you know, we're trying to meet women. Obviously, we would like to have their input. And I think what you're doing is important because, obviously, there's been a social shift. It's a, as you say, a taboo subject to come out and say, you know, that this problem exists, that we have, you know, I guess involuntary celibacy on a mass scale. I don't know that that's ever happened before.
I think this is like living on a giant cock farm. It really is. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was addressed as an issue. The problem I have is that nobody's addressing this. And these men that I talk to about this problem, always, you know what the typical guy says today? I don't need a woman. They're too much work. You know what they're really saying is? I can't get a woman, so I need an excuse. So I'm going to tell everybody that they're too much work.
Because it's easier to give up.
Yeah, it's easier for them to give up and say, I don't have the time for it versus that they know it's true. And so I really believe if women were living through what most men today are living through in the Gen X generation or even Gen Y for that matter, they would be emotionally screaming a million tears. They would be crying. They'd say, I can't meet a man. You know, a woman's definition of not being able to meet a guy is not find the guy that's the so-called right guy. They can find guys. They can find 50, 100 guys. You take a guy that hasn't had sex in 10 years or has had a date in 5 years, then you can come to tell me how it is. But these women in this generation today have no freaking clue what it's like. They have none. Absolutely none. Your cousin, your sister, it doesn't matter. They have no freaking clue.
Yeah. Well, I think some of them sort of know what's going on. Actually, maybe a lot of them sort of know what's going on, but why they're not speaking out about it, I don't know. That's something that needs to be explored.
Yeah, it does. So what would you recommend that men in any situation, our situation, do at this point? Just education, I think, is the key right now. There's nothing much you can do but just educate, make it people aware of what, you know, that there is this thing called involuntary celibacy or involuntary or wifelessness or datelessness or TFL, if you want to call it that. You know, anything that's relating to the crisis of men not being able to meet women today without having to deal with huge competition. This other life you're talking about, and here's why. If I can prove that this world, there's like maybe going to a bigger city like D.C. or New York is true, then maybe it's going to start to shift men's attitudes toward either moving or not so much moving, but maybe making an issue of this whole women issue in the first place. Because it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think sometimes there's times where I start to think maybe it is me, and then I think, well, maybe it's not, you know. But I just can't fathom the idea that all these average to ugly women have boyfriends. And I can't figure it out. Why? I can't even lower my standards and find somebody.
Don't lower your standards.
Oh, I won't.
Absolutely
I definitely
not.
Yeah, for sure. And my ex-girlfriend, I called me back the other day or a week ago or two, and she apparently has got some issues going on because she would have never called me if it wasn't for this issue. But apparently she's trying to play some, and I'm just not giving into it. I'm not going to reward bad behavior with kindness. It's just no way.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Well, you know, culturally, and especially when you live the life of being the lonely guy, you get these ideas.
Attitude that we have in a society. I mean, I'll tell you something. Oh, I wanted to bring up the George Sudini case. I did an interview with a guy named Scott. I may repost the audio file. I'll give you the link for the George Sudini interview. Do you remember the guy back in early August of 2009 last year that shot up that LA Fitness gym in Pittsburgh?
There was a
lonely guy who was going to these pickup artist seminars, but he was very successful. He had over $250,000 estate. He made good money. He was into computers, but he couldn't get a woman to save his life. And he wasn't ugly, but he wasn't really good looking either. I was thinking he was more or less than average looking. Anyways, to make a long story short, he kept a diary of this, and he was going to these seminars. He's trying to change his life around, and finally he just let go and he couldn't take it anymore. And he wrote in his diary, and it was very haunting because I think this is typically of what goes on with a lot of guys who haven't dated in years. He says, I can't believe that there's 25, 30 million women within a certain age group that cannot find me attractive. He goes, and, you know, he went on to say that, you know, he felt so lonely and disconnected. And I think he just lost it, but you can look his name on the internet up. It's George Sudini. But I felt bad because if he would have discovered Winston Wu's website and he had enough money to go overseas, which he did, he was loaded. He had a nice house. He had a car. He was definitely – he could have gone overseas and gone from being a reject to a rock star overnight. Oh. And it's sad that – I wish I could build a time machine, look his number up in the book, and call him and say, look, before you go crazy, listen to what's going on. Because this guy was a tortured soul. It was all because he couldn't get a woman. And I believe there are thousands of men who feel the same way this guy felt.
Hey, look, I don't have a whole lot of close friends because I believe in having, I'm not one of these guys that's like 20 or 30 guy friends. I have like three or four real close friends, and all of them are experiencing the same thing that we're talking about. And those are just a few guys that I know, my closest friends.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, I've explained to him how different the foreign ladies. I've been showing him stuff and telling him how different it is, and he agrees. It took him like about a year or two, and he's like, Steve, more and more. He's like, Steve, God, you know, you're right. I'm seeing what you're talking about now, and it is an epidemic, and you know, like I said,
it's the biggest crisis. I would say that it's more taboo than being a neo-Nazi, a famous actor that's a neo-Nazi. It's so taboo that it doesn't even get mentioned that this crisis that men are going through, this dating crisis, is epidemic proportion. But they're keeping a lid on it because they want men to keep buying expensive things, thinking they'll get a woman.
I can't argue with that. I agree.
And this George Sudini was a perfect example of a guy who was in his mid to late 40s. He was a tortured soul. More people sympathize with him. They says, well, you know, those women that he shot, and I don't advocate what he did, but they says that they probably were disconnected women. And one guy wrote, and they were showing the video of the shooting scene on TV, and there was one of those girls from the gym walking by, and somebody commented, they says, I knew that girl that was in the back, and she was the biggest slut. So, you know, a lot of these girls, by the time they've hit their 40s, they have slept around with so many guys.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like you want to feel sorry for women, but they have really brought this situation as a culture or as a socioeconomic group. Women have this insensitivity has brought this upon themselves. I hate to say it, but it's the price you pay when if you treat a person bad enough long enough, they're gonna break. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You hit it right on the head. I totally would agree with that, and I see what you're saying. I mean, that's what happens, and that's what is happening. Because I told you, even I'm seeing the trend. Everybody knows somebody now who's gone overseas, for just given up and said, "Screw this, I don't. Yeah. Why am I putting up with this insensitivity and insincerity?
And just be confident, mothers. And the fact of the matter is that mothers can't give their sons any more advice. You know, my mother years ago would say, "Don't worry, the right one will come along." Now she just doesn't even say that anymore. When I talk to my mother, I'll say, "You know, I'll tell her about the dating scene," and she'll be like, "Well." I went to a work party or something not too long ago, and I brought a girl with me, and she's clinging on to this girl like she's the only girl that's going to be available, and you better get her now. And I thought to myself, Mom, why do I have to just settle for one particular girl, okay, because you saw me with one girl? And I thought, this is insane, because it's more or less – that's her way of saying that, yes, Steve, now you've got somebody. You better grab it before it runs away, you know. Well, why not have options? Options are better than having one girl, because if that one girl flakes out on you, then you're basically left holding your dick in your hand, you know?
Totally. And that is what happens, though, a lot. I mean, we talked about, look at the divorce rate that skyrocketed. The divorce rate used to be much lower back in the early 60s and the 50s and the 40s. Now America, along with Canada, the Western nations, have the highest divorce rates in the world.
Right.
Compared to these other countries, like Latin and Asia countries, where they're just very low divorce rates. But
right.
That's exactly right. I've gotten to the point, Steve, where, to be honest with you, in general, I'm not going to say it's about all of the American women, but I find it hard to trust that a relationship, a marriage.
Yes, because even so, even if a woman, like when guys say, oh, you generalize, even if a woman is a very committed woman in a relationship, do you realize the danger that she has the option to say, fuck you, and just dump you tomorrow? You realize how shocking, and by the way, this does happen.
It happens all the time. Dr. Laura Schlesinger, right?
I know who she is, yeah.
She talked about this on a radio show. She was specifically referring actually to American women, not just both men and women. She said American women, and she'll be a straight shooter when she has to be, popular or not. She said that American women will have a tendency to wake up one day and just say, I don't love you anymore.
Yes, and once they do that, what options does the American guy have? See, it would be nice if the woman that woke up and said, I don't love you anymore, gave the guy, well, I'm going to divorce you, but I'm going to give you 30 options. But no, he's left with no options. Now, when you take the woman, she's got all the options. I mean, you realize that how volatile of a state that really is. Yes, she might be a sweet girl, but 10 years of marriage or 8 years of marriage, and boom, she decides she wants to screw the guy down the street, and you're left, like I said, with your dick in your hand, and you don't. I mean, and that really makes a guy feel like, oh my God, I can't. What am I going to do after that? You know.
And they're very – here's the thing, though. They're very vindictive. I find there's a tendency for – because I've seen both sides. Like, I've dated a lot of mostly Asians here in the States that were born –
Yeah, but how do you date Asians in the States? Because, I mean, I'm not – I haven't even been able to date any Asians, because I don't know. Maybe they don't live in the Cleveland area. But where do – you really don't have dating options when you're in the States, do you?
It's just – it's affordable. It's just a matter of guys are willing to think outside the box and put an end to their misery – put an end to the horrible options, the dating options that's here in the States.
Yeah, I think is there a point at which when you leave the Philippines or any country like Peru, when you see the contrast that you're so depressed coming back to the States as regarding the social scene?
Yes, definitely. I noticed
because
that.
There's just no way I'm going to be able to walk up to a girl in the States after I get all. Oh, by the way, this will debunk the confidence thing. Let's say you live in this, and this will prove that the PUAs are full of crap. If you lived in the Philippines for 1 year and you were getting girls galore and you moved back to the States, you'd have a lot of confidence, right? But the confidence wouldn't change the dating scene. You'd just be an ugly guy with confidence, that's all.
No, exactly. It wouldn't change. It wouldn't change a darn thing. And you know, it's like Wu has Winston. I mean, on his Happier Abroad website, you just read all the testimonials how foreign men talk about what it was like to live in the States for a few years, how they've lost their confidence because women treated them like they're a criminal, just trying to approach them, or just they just self-esteem destruction to a certain extent. Approaching American women, And they talk about that. A lot of foreigners will talk about that. It's on Lewis' site. So,
how did we ever get to the point? David D'Angelo tried to use this thing that I thought might have been true, but I think more of it's a cultural thing. But he's saying that the reason why a lot of guys physically fear walking up to a woman they don't know is because they fear the threat of physical violence from some jealous guy. But if that's the case, then why is it not that way when you go to another country? I am convinced now, and I do change my opinions from time to time. I used to think that, but now I think that it is a cultural thing that we live in a matrix. That here's what happens when you live in a matrix: you become a part. It's called there's a name called a meme. M-E-M-E. Are you familiar with that term, meme?
No, I've never heard of that.
The term meme is kind of like a psychological. It's kind of like if everybody starts to think a certain way in a, like, let's say you live in the South and everybody says, I love the government. My granddad died for my freedom. And everybody starts to think like that. It becomes like a meme. It becomes like an energy that the government can do no wrong. I'm just using that as a stereotype example. Now, sure. A meme when it comes to approaching women is we all have this trepidation that we're a burden, because if we approach a woman and she doesn't like it, we start to immediately feel uncomfortable that, oh, my God, I should have never even done that. So I think that the culture we're living in creates the fear of approaching a woman, not because I'm afraid her big, jealous boyfriend will beat the crap out of me.
We all learn eventually how it is here. A lot of women will just flat out, not politely, but often humiliate you in the way that they do turn you down. You know, there's a polite way to do it versus a rude way.
Right.
Unfortunately, most when you go out to the single scenes, especially any bars or clubs, is where most men go for the single scene. It's especially bad in those situations.
But even whether you're in the bar scene or the at a ball game and you approach a woman that you find attractive, you almost feel like you're being a burden, especially.
Yeah.
And it's so. I want to get out of this culture because I feel it's a lost cause. I've done everything in my power. 2 years ago, I was going to the bookstore 3 days a week, and I was approaching and talking to as many women. And I did get some positive, don't get me wrong, I ran into some 40-something-year-old women that were married, that were pushing their body, and it was very clearly, obviously, were attracted to me, but of course they were married, so you really couldn't get further with that. And but for the most part, it became a burden. It was hit and miss. It was trying to, you know, and then I felt like I asked like a couple of girls, hey, would you like to grab coffee? Because, you know, there was a coffee store. No, that's okay either. I'm not interested. And then I all of a sudden just started feeling uncomfortable, and I wanted to get out of the store, and I said, Steve, stop. Okay, so you asked her for coffee. She doesn't want to. Just don't humiliate yourself. So I kept walking around and slowly, but it was a moot point. And then I had one girl I met, and this drove me nuts. This pissed me off. This girl, I saw her outside talking to her friend, and we started talking, and she gave me her number. Now, she said, I kind of have a boyfriend. I called her up a week later, and she wouldn't respond. And then one time, I finally decided to leave a voicemail on her voicemail. I says, well, I just want you to know I'm going to call you whenever. And she texts me back. She goes, don't you fucking call me ever again. She goes, I'm not interested. I got a boyfriend. And this girl just, like, it was like the difference between night and day. And this, of course, doesn't permeate my mind, but this is just an example of the kind of attitude that American women have, or attitude that they have toward men, that if they don't like you, it's get the hell away from me. I want nothing to do with you.
Oh man, that's spot on. I mean, you could.
Yes, but they have the word contempt is the perfect word for what women think of American men that they have no attraction for. I interviewed a real cynical guy named Scott. He was only in his early 20s. He says that if women don't find you attractive, they don't even want. They wish you would just die. Now that's extreme, but I sometimes.
But no, I agree. And, you know, and going back to this whole subject that we're here for, I can't, you know, I just would make it clear that we're talking, I think, in all these subjects we're talking about in generalities, okay? Again, I'll be the first one to tell you that I do not think that all Western women are the ways we've been talking about tonight. It's not about being vindictive or negative or whatever. You know, it's about helping guys who are having troubles. And, you know,
right. I think I wish women would respect that. If any women listening to this have a boyfriend or they're committed, that's fine. But you got to understand that there's guys like me, Steve, and this other Steve I'm talking to, and people like Winston, and there's millions of guys, as far as I'm concerned, that are really tired of this scene and being treated like this. We're tired of going out to 4th of July celebrations, seeing other guys with a girl, and then when we're told why we don't have a girl, it's your fault, which it isn't. It's the social scene, because you go up to talk to strangers, they don't want anything to do with you, and I don't have a leper sores all over me or anything. Exactly. I just think that we have a culture, and I am willing to step out of this awful matrix that we live in. I really think this matrix has done most heterosexual men a disservice. And I blame it on feminism, and I blame it on television and the media. Everything has just come crashing down, and we have the power to overcome it.
We do, and that's what guys, and like I said, I think the biggest obstacle to these guys that are lonely or having a tough time, which is a lot of guys, the biggest obstacle is these stereotypes. And guys, you don't realize how wrong these stereotypes are. It's nothing like what you hear.
Right, it is. Now, I'm going to probably close this interview out. You know what we can do? I'm going to let you listen to this before I upload it, but I wanted to say one thing. What recommendation would you give any guys? What's the first step? I mean, what does a guy need to do? He's, of course, got to have a little money saved, but should a guy fear – should there be fear involved in making the decision to just get the hell out of the country for a couple weeks and check it out for themselves?
No, obviously not. I mean, this could be something that could change your life, which it has ours, which is why you and I are here tonight.
Right, and if there's anybody that's ever thought about doing what George Sodini did, and you're intelligent, you can hold a job, don't do it. Don't let the system get to you, because George Sodini got to the point where he didn't know what we're telling you, that not all women act like heterosexual, feminized, feminazi American women do. That you don't need to become a George Sodini and blast up a bunch of women, because there are beautiful women by the tens of hundreds of millions that are outside this awful thing we call the femisphere.
Yeah, totally. And these women are not only, almost all of them are hot and beautiful, thin, whatever, which is I think what most men tend to like, as far as looks isn't everything, obviously, but they got both the looks and the inside, the good heart. They appreciate whatever you can do for them. They're just appreciative and humble. And it blew my mind when I went to the Philippines. And, you know, it's shocking. It's amazing. I never knew it. It's incredible.
You know what, the girl that I'm talking to on the phone right now, she's 25. We've Skyped back and forth a couple times. You know what she said her concern is? She wants to eventually be able to buy her or help buy her parents and her brother a house or whatever. I mean, I look at that. They're family-oriented. This girl
– family-oriented, yes.
Yeah, family-oriented. They're not like, well, I'm an individual. I don't look for other people. No, the time of being a narcissistic individual has got to come to an end. We need, as guys, to – first of all, we need to give ourselves a cyber hug and emotionally bond. This is another thing guys are ashamed to do. Mm. We need to emotionally bond and say, hey, brother, you're not the only one. I'm on your side. And
exactly.
that's what I'm doing with the Roller Steve show. I am getting guys and interviewing brave people like you, Steve, to get out there, tell who you are, and tell your story. And we're just going to keep. We're on a mission. These videos aren't going to get the kind of pop, the views that the preacher that farted in church gets on or YouTube with 580,000 views. I mean, that's how degenerate Americans have become. But there's going to be a small cadre, a minority, that is going to say enough is enough, and we're going to do something about it.
Yeah, and every even if it's just a few guys that we can help, you know, open their eyes a little bit, it's achieved our goal. It's worthwhile. And what you mentioned real quick about the girl you're talking about wants to buy her family a house, whatever, that it's so opposite of what you tend to find attitude-wise here, I think, with most of the...
Yeah, yeah, the girl, the typical girl today wants her parents to buy it, and she doesn't want anything to do with them. No, there's no doubt. Spoil the child, spare the rod, spoil the child. These people have a much different value system than we do.
Right.
Oh, one last thing. These women don't sleep around a lot, too. If guys think they're going to get laid over there that easy, they're wrong. Most of these girls that I've talked to, most of the girls that I've not talked to, I've only chatted with this one, but this one girl said something interesting to me. She goes, "We sometimes go." She goes, "I went to the to a strip bar one time. Just I was so." You know, like in other words, I'm not even aware of what's going on. And she goes, I wanted to see. I was so curious as to what this was all about. They're very ostracized from the prostitution scene. So people think, oh, go over there. All these women are sexually loose. They're not. Most of them are virgins or have only had one or two boyfriends in their life.
Well, yeah, and of course, my experience. Of course, I went to Angela City, which is where the go-go bars are. That's why, for me, I even mentioned that. It's
a big city, but in a smaller town like Cebu, from what I've heard, there's more marriage-minded women.
These
are the kind of women that are going to rub your back. Even if you go to the Philippines and don't get sex once, I guarantee you'll find a girl that'll massage you from head to toe and give you a back rub. Something that one last thing, I got a confession to make. I went to a massotherapist a couple times, a female, for the sole purpose of having a woman be able to rub me down and give me a massage. It felt great because I'm a runner, but it also felt good to have a woman give me a massage, which is something no woman would give me the time of day if I didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I agree. I hear you what you're saying there. And what I wanted to fit into, going back again to the girl you're talking about, I wanted to buy a home for her parents. My fiance in Peru, you just wouldn't believe this. She talks to her father every night. I mean, I'd be chatting her on Yahoo Chat every time there's an interruption, almost every night. She talks to her father every night, and she's so close to him. And she's close to her whole family, her mom, too. But it's endearing. It's endearing.
They have better values, much, much better values than these asinine parents that have these stupid yuppies. You know, I'll tell you, I blame this disconnectedness. This started in the late 60s, all these flower children morphed into these narcissistic yuppies of the 80s. We love Reagan, maximum minimum prison sentences for drug users. They did a total 180 on their values. Then they became disconnected, materialistic yuppies. Now the children of these people, the Generation Y, now they get to reap the benefits that they reap the rewards that they sow. Now these kids don't want anything to do with their parents. It's just disgusting.
Put them in nursing homes. Foreign people will take care of the parents. They'll live with them, bring them in their home or whatever. But here we have a tendency to just put them in the nursing home, forget about them. I mean, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
That's one example. But no, exactly, 100%. The family values are just incredible.
Right.
Narcissism is one word that
it runs rampant in our society. But you know what? I'm gonna jet out of here now because I gotta hit the hay. But today actually technically is the July 5th now, 2010. It's still the 4th on your end. It's 12:31 a.m. July 5th, 2010. But Steve, we're gonna do more future interviews. Okay.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. This is within my first.
If you come up with any, if you have any interesting stories to tell me, shoot me emails. Like, go out there in public and tell people. I want to hear their reactions because you've been one of the most interesting interviewees I've had so far.
Well, and I feel like I've stumbled a little bit in some areas, but it's my first.
Well, listen, I stutter, I stumble too, but off the cuff interviews are really the best, man. We can cover so much ground.
Right.
And you've been a great host. I'm going to give you again. I'm going to give you the upload link first. You can listen to this, and then we'll put it up. Okay.
Sounds good.
And the next question we get into this guy you were mentioning in the email you sent me. You were telling me about how this woman kind of get uppity, or she heard you guys talking. Do you think that woman's I guess you might as well just tell the story. What exactly happened? This woman overheard you talking about your foreign bride or something, or your soon to be bride, or
funny, as I mentioned in the email, this happened just last week, and me and my friend were absolutely shocked that she said this. But when I brought it up, you know, I mentioned about my fiance that I have, overseas and everything, and she goes, "Oh, you're one of those guys, huh? You think we're too materialistic and too demanding, and blah blah blah." And she went through all these things that we're talking about in this interview now, okay? And me and my friend, we looked at each other with eyes wide open, like, oh my God, how would she know, you know? So, of course, I played along, and I didn't want to stir up the hornet's nest by admitting to it and getting into the argument details, whatever. She was fun to talk to, wanted to keep things pleasant. So I didn't really confirm or deny, but I did joke with her. Oh, she did tell me. She goes, oh, well, how much did you pay for her? Or I guess you bought her, right? And I said, yeah, I went along, played along. I said, yeah, she was on sale, got her on layaway, 0% financing, just totally joking along with her. And I also told her, I said, plus, my lady respects me, and she's willing to walk six paces behind me, too. You know, just totally joking. We had a good laugh and let it be, you know. But, you know, yes. I mean, the point being is that they realize, I think, to me, right. That proves more and more women that realize that a lot of guys are, you know, what's going on. So.
Yeah, well, let me ask a question. I'm going to jump onto a subject, the pickup artist community. I was a victim of it. I never spent a lot of money on it. I bought some used material off a guy who got sick of it, and it didn't work out. It was the Ross Jeffries stuff. What overall do you think that the pickup artist industry is all about? Do you think that these guys are charlatans? Do you think that this is all because there's a need for it, and it's giving men who have no social life a little bit of hope, even though it's all in vain?
Exactly. I mean, there is a need for it. You know, I can't speak for other Western countries, but of course we all know in the States that this is a big thing. I mean, you've got to have game, you got to have be certain social skills, whatever it is,
right,
for, you know, most American women to be interested in you. I mean, there's a certain element of that in our culture.
Right.
And of course, you know, you don't see that with, you don't hear of that with in Latin or Asian countries. For sure.
Right. Having game is the equivalent of, you know, I don't believe in game. I think that it's very clearly women do judge you by your looks and your social status, mainly looks, and maybe small amount of gold diggers. But I feel that the PUA community has about all but used up every resource it can at this point. I could put them to shame. I could, if I were to at a David D'Angelo or Carlo Zumo convention, I could bust it up and tell them, look, the problem with the American dating and scene is women don't need men. And, you know, when by the way, me and you are close to the same age, so one thing we remember is the reference point. In the 1980s, women were still sweet and friendly. They were not feminized like they are today. And you could still get dates with girls, I remember. Even if you were unpopular, you could still get dates. These women in this last 15 years have become militarized and feminized to the point of bashing men. And so I just feel that the PUA picked up exactly around 15 years ago, like the late 90s or mid to late 90s, like around that time when this stuff started to really hit the fan. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I really can't say per se. I may have not paid as much attention to it as you have, but I wouldn't doubt that. You know, we all know what it's like compared to what it was in the 50s, you know, when women were still feminine, you know.
Right.
So I think that could probably be very well true. It's an accelerating trend. I would say that I'd have to agree with one thing. I've never seen, you know, I've been going to the bars, nightclubs as a single guy all my life. You know, I'm 42 now, and I would say that it has gotten worse because I haven't seen so many stuck up women. As far as you approach them, some of them will ignore you, like, how dare you talk to me, or I'm too good for you, or they'll be acting all lesbian with the girls because they.
Yeah, I had that happen. The last time I approached a woman at a bar was 2 years ago, and I said something about, I think you're cute, and she goes, I'm here with my lesbian friend. And I knew right away she was just saying, get the hell away from me, because.
Oh, yeah, totally. And my one of my best friend buddies just told me this actually happened last night, believe it or not. He was just talking to a girl, actually just trying to be friendly, hanging out. She's standing next to her table. And he just said, oh, you look great. How do you keep yourself so fit? You know, just a normal, like, compliment type thing. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't acting weird or anything. And she goes, my boyfriend's going to be back, so, you know, like, so don't talk to me, you know. And he was just shocked. This happened to him. I mean, it's just such a I don't know, militaristic or just an antagonizing.
It's basically a go to hell. You're not attractive. But I bet you if she would have found your friend attractive, even if she had a boyfriend, she would have still talked with him and probably slipped him her number. No, I really feel that women in America have such a contempt for men. It's not funny. And another thing I think, too, the problem with, and this goes outside of feminism, the ratio of men to women is too great. There are too many available men versus women. I mean, the ratio is just so lopsided, too. It doesn't seem like there's enough women to go around, but you go to these third world countries like the Philippines, and they're just loaded with, I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, you notice it on the online dating sites. I mean, most men are bitching on these message boards how they don't get responses. I've done the online dating. You know, I've tried it several times over the years. I could send 50 emails, and the girls don't even have to be real hot, even just decent looking, and I might get, if I'm lucky, one response out of 50 or 70 emails.
Oh, yeah. More,
and especially, it's worse on the dating boards, on the internet dating site, even far worse.
It's a sausage party is what it is, and most bars are sausage parties. You know, this dating thing, I'm surprised. You know what's amazing, though, that this has never become a mainstream issue in the media. Like, it's never exploded into a kind – like, this is a crisis, I feel. It's a real major crisis, and nobody wants to address it. So I'm glad the two of us are addressing it.
Exactly. And I want to tell you something. This is amazing, but I have noticed, I guess, you know, like in the last – 2, 3, 4 years, it just seems like more and more people know somebody who went overseas for love and marriage. I've been going to, whether it's an office get-together, social function, or just like this girl the other night, you know. I mean, it's like people are becoming more aware of it, though. I mean, what are the odds that I meet a girl who said what she said to me? Oh, you're one of those guys. They know their shit stinks. A lot of them are starting to see it, and they're getting very antagonized about it. They don't like it, obviously, but it's happening. I mean, I got – in my job, there's an office across from me where there's two ladies. They're not like best friends, but they sit in the same office. They both – know somebody. One of them is somebody in their family who went overseas, and the other girl has a friend of a friend that knew. I mean, I can't tell you how much more common. Everywhere I go, oh, I know somebody who did that. Oh, yeah, somebody in my family did that. It's becoming it's increasing. I mean, more and more
it's
guys.
It's increasing, and but it doesn't seem like YouTube, like when I look at a guy like Winston Wu, you would think he'd have 10,000 subscribers. You know what upsets me with YouTube? A pastor farts in a church, 500,000 views in 2 days. A guy like Winston Wu puts up a video about social disconnectedness in America, and he'll be lucky to get 100 hits on it in a week, you know, or 2 weeks or whatever. I think that Americans I believe people know people, but I don't think it's. First of all, I don't really care if most men become aware of this. In fact, I just want to hog them for myself at this point.
Well, you know, everybody's living it like we talked about earlier in their little box in the U.S. matrix. They don't go outside of the matrix. They don't know. The problem is that they just don't know. That's why you're not going to get a lot of people interested in the subject. You know, these guys are lonely, frustrated, especially – I think the problems, like we talked about, is worse the older a guy gets, the more difficult
– the more cynical he gets and the more laid back. Now, for example, I got a guy that's been responding to my videos whose name I won't mention. You probably could look at my comment section and figure it out.
Yeah.
But this guy has been responding to my videos, and he's in his mid to late 40s, and he's like, oh, I've already given up on these women. Screw them. I've got my good paying job and my hobbies. I don't need this, and my libido's not, you know, what it used to be anyways. And I thought, you know, that's a sad state of affairs when a guy tries to justify, well, I'm not interested anymore. And, you know, I think he ought to just say he's still young enough. I mean, crazy, he could do it in his 60s and 70s, go overseas and find a good woman and bring her back or live over there. So I think it's sad when people hit that point where they try to justify, well, you know, I don't need a woman. I'm already in my mid-40s. No, that's the time where you need to start saying, hey, look, I've spent all these years single. I need to make a change, and that's where they need to do it.
And I hope, you know, for me, if I can even just reach out to a handful of guys, it's so important. I mean, I truly want to get the word out for some of these guys who are frustrated. I've been there. I know what it's like. Even I'm actually a decent, good-looking guy.
Still get the shit from American women. Average fat women probably would still turn you down. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, and so I know the more guys I can, you know, tell them about, hey, you really – I tell them the message boards. I tell these people, I said, look, it's your own fault if you're not willing to at least take a peek, take a look, get on the international dating site, make a few friends, and before you know it, you'll fall in love with one of these sweethearts. Now, the other thing is foreign girls, here's something we didn't cover. They – oh, my God, they like older guys. I mean – for them, ten to 15 years older is in the prime zone of what they want. It's different than American girls who want younger guys.
Right, because when you look at these expat guys in their 60s that are sitting on a bar stool, they really still get a lot of social interaction with these young girls. And they're not as – they're gray and they're scruffy and they're fat. But, you know, the thing is that they're not as prejudiced. And these are guys that would be, like, considered bums in America, and yet they're having the social life of their life, you know, have a good time.
And that's what these guys don't realize. Again, it's the stereotypes a lot of American men think about the foreign ladies that's just keeping them, I think, from giving it serious thought. But,
right.
Like, I mean, these girls, they'll go up to 10 to 20 years older than themselves. They're, what they like in men is so opposite of what American woman likes in a man.
You know, let me tell you something. I'm talking to a Filipino woman right now.
Sure.
And I've talked to her, and she's 25, and she goes, "Oh, you were so cute," because we did webcam. She goes, "You look like little girl." She goes, "You got angelic face," and she's already. And let me tell you how different the dating thing is. She likes me. She's attractive, but she thinks that she goes, "Well, listen, if you don't find me attractive, I will sit. You won't hurt my feelings. I'll just, you know, set you up with my friend." So they're already humble enough to say, "Look, it may not work out." But I mean, it's like she's more or less making me feel like I'm in the driver's seat. Now, I don't like to feel that way. I don't like to be like in control like that, but I feel so. How much my value is going to be when I go over there versus just in this lousy, sexually repressed American, you just want to get laid society.
Oh, yeah. And the girls just assume that about you here versus over there. They're just so humble and sweet. Your example is perfect. And another thing I'll say, if you look at a foreign girl's dating profile, let's say you go to one of these international dating sites online, and most of these foreign girls, especially in the Philippines, it's very typical in their profile that they'll say, looking for a guy who will accept me for who I am, humbleness. And whereas you look at American women's dating site, not only will you have a minimum income requirement, 60,000, 70,000 a year, American women, but real clear, most of them, not all of them, but most of them will have a high income requirement as part of the deal. But they'll have a list of demands, a list of requirements, must love pets, you know, must love the tribe.
Yeah, but even those demands don't mean anything. That's just a way of saying I'm so high maintenance, because even if a guy met all those standards, if he wasn't attractive, he's out the door. That's just a big smokescreen as far as I'm concerned. That must love this doesn't mean shit. It's just another way of an American woman saying, ha ha, I got all these options and you better, you know, kiss my foot, you know?
Yep. But just the overall summary is that I get a sense of, wow, look at all these demands and sense of entitlement.
Exactly.
Versus a foreign girl looking for a man who will accept me for who I am. And this is a girl who could be an accountant, an engineer, a nurse.
Yes, and very attractive. I mean, it's just, it is so, yeah, it is so amazing. And then, there's this whole dating thing is, well, we already know what it is. We just need to get down there. So,